The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
Now, are employers having to show new levels of trust in their workforce? Will managers need to develop new skills? Should Irish employees look further afield if they don't need to be in the country they live in to do a job? Well, the coronavirus has given employers and staff much to consider going forward. And to get some insight, I'm joined by Future of Work expert and author of a book that could keep you and the family entertained throughout the pandemic, Family Fun Unplugged, Peter Cosgrove. Peter, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, what has the crisis taught us so far about the possibility of a lot of us staying at home?
Yeah, I mean, what's really interesting about this is nothing could have ever prepared us for this kind of hard reset where literally overnight everybody was told you needed to work from home, because we had a huge amount of companies who did some sort of remote and flexible working, but we also had a massive cohort who said we just can't do it. We're not able to, for security reasons, for logistical reasons and so forth. And so many of those companies have now overnight thrown all that out and saying, right, everybody has to work from home because we can and we will. So I think the biggest change we've seen now is that companies now can't say we can't do this, because they obviously can. The difference and what's going to happen after this is over is to really understand, has productivity been affected? Can people actually be as productive when they're working at home than working in the office? And that's probably something that's too early to say so far, but people probably have very different views on that, employers and employees, I would say.
Now, two things. One is, you can go barking mad being at home all the time because you miss the social interaction with your colleagues, which may lead to increased productivity, or maybe some employers will think that social interaction reduces productivity.
Yeah, I think the first thing for employees to realize is nobody works 8 hours a day in, you know, as in hard work. People might think they do, but actually when you're in the office, you are spending time chatting to colleagues. You might be in meetings where you're fairly passive. So it's rare that you're sitting there for 8 hours actually working hard. So often when people are at home and there's less maybe video meetings or there's less phone calls, they can feel that it's a long day to be working. So I think this kind of isolation that people have people have to get used to it. And the difference between this remote working is, I think firstly, we need to realize there's this hum of anxiety that's around all of us, because this is actually a real crisis. So this wouldn't be the norm for remote working. And the second thing is, in most remote working or kind of flexible working, there's an opportunity to go into the office and meet other people. So people just need to realize this isn't the new normal, because in remote working in the future, you'd still be able to obviously go out, see your friends, meet people for a coffee, whereas I think people are finding definitely a level of isolation and loneliness they probably wouldn't have felt normally.
I think people might worry about, you know, you're working at home, you're doing your job, and you're remote from the office, remote from HQ.
Yeah.
You're in Donegal, you're in Leitrim, you're in Limerick, Cork, Galway, wherever you are, and the head office is in Dublin. But you could be in Mumbai. You could be in Stockport. You could be in Liverpool. So, I mean, could you lose your job to Johnny Foreigner?
Yeah, I think one of the dangers about this is people have been really positive about the remote working. And I almost think people need to be a little bit careful around it, because they're saying, see, I told you, from now on, once this is over, I'm going to tell my employer I'm working from home 3 days a week. But as you said, the moment you demonstrate your job can be done remotely, why would your employer worry if you're 5 miles away versus 6,005 miles away? And if there are countries around the world who are paid 10% of what we're paid, maybe your job could go to what people now call telemigrants, people who speak English but maybe don't work anywhere near HQ but work a lot cheaper. So one of the kind of interesting kind of ironies about the whole remote working is we're using technology a lot more, but most people would argue that the skills of the future are going to be much more people-led, influencing, persuading, and all of these skills that probably need more face-to-face interaction, not less. So I'd be telling people that they need to really focus in the next few weeks and probably months on ensuring that they are a key resource in their organization, because there will be job cuts over the next 6 to 12 months, and they need to make sure their job isn't either lost completely or, as you said, taken by somebody who can work for a much lower salary.
Almost everybody who's suddenly been thrown into remote working has had to learn new skills, using new software, using new technologies, and, well, not so much in the private sector, but generally in the public sector, if you want someone to do a new job, they want compensation for doing that, less so in the private sector, I suspect. But people are showing themselves to be remarkably flexible.
Yeah, it, like needs must, I suppose people say. So most people would have heard of Skype. They may have heard of Microsoft Teams, but very few people had actually heard of Zoom. And now overnight, it's something that people are using from a personal point of view to a work concept. I would say to everybody out there is don't expect that the boss or the employer in your organization knows all these tools. What I'm saying to people is get everybody in the organization to try out different things, because for some people, some of these tools are amazing. For other people, they're a massive distraction. But what I would also say is, you also need to be very clear on how to use these. Meetings in general in organizations have never worked that well. People are on their laptops, people are half listening. This can become even worse when it's a video meeting, because simple things like me, you know, with a meeting of eight people going, does anyone have any suggestions, just does not work well, because then eight people jump in, then they all stop, and then they all jump in again. So you need people to change how they work things like video meetings. You call on certain people, or you have people muted until they actually have their turn to speak. You check that everybody gets a time to speak. Because a lot of people in Ireland, we're very much used to the fact that we start speaking the moment we see somebody else is about to stop speaking. So we don't leave these pauses, and that can become really awkward. So I'd say a lot of people out there are finding these video meetings quite awkward because of the amount of interruptions and kind of stop-start.
Now, in terms of employers and the opportunity to rid themselves of some expensive office real estate, in terms of employees thinking, I don't have to make that commute, I can get up an hour later and drop my child to the childcare or the school or whatever, and then I can come home and do my work, less pollution, roads less clogged. I mean, there are some very attractive upsides if the whole thing can be made to work.
Yeah, I totally agree, Pat. I think what we're actually looking at is not really the remote working, although we will certainly have more people who are able to do jobs in companies that they're not close to. But actually, the bigger revolution will be less 9 to 5. There's still a lot of organizations out there that had that, you know, kind of thing that you had to be in at 9 and you couldn't be a minute late and you had to work till 5:30. And if people can now demonstrate and are trusted that they can do a great job and it doesn't really matter when they do it or where they are, but they do it within the working day, then some people will realize they're much better working in the evening, some people early in the morning. But this idea, this panic that everyone has to get in at 9 and out at 5:30, which leads to a complete clog in our commuting, and the fact that people have to travel for an hour and a half sometimes as opposed to maybe 30 minutes off peak. So I think the biggest revolution is going to be this understanding that sometimes we should go into the office, sometimes maybe the worst place for us to be in the office, but the key part is we need an employer who actually hires people because they trust them and they continue to trust them throughout their life. Otherwise, we're in a situation where you're never going to be able to have a manager who does anything other than has a team where he stares at them and only knows they're working by actually seeing them. And that obviously now cannot be done. So hopefully that, to me, is going to be the biggest change over the next couple of years.
But Peter, those who work on the computer can be monitored from HQ anyway. When they log on in the morning, their keystroke activity throughout their working day, what time they knock off for lunch and so on. So Big Brother can watch.
Yeah, and actually, you know, a lot of these technologies, I mean, you know, you look at technologies at the home, like Netflix, where it automatically plays the next program. You can turn these functions off, but most people don't. In work, often people can be checked. There's these new technologies like Slack, but the moment you try to disable notifications, it almost gives you a stern warning that you shouldn't do this. So they're trying to keep us connected all the time, but you shouldn't want this, because as an employer, you should think that if somebody is sitting there, not on their computer, and they're reading a document, or they're thinking, that that's actually quality time. The only thing you should worry about is what is the output at the end of the week, not the inputs. And I think people are worrying too much about that. And actually, we all know that somebody can, there's people in organizations who can work 3 or 4 hours a day and do brilliant things, and other people can work 14 hours a day and not produce very much at all. So let's focus on the output, the productivity, not, as you said, the keystrokes and what people are doing on a day-to-day or hour-to-hour basis.
Peter Cosgrove, a future of work expert and author of Family Fun Unplugged, 2 volumes of that, in fact. Peter, thank you very much for joining us.